Turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of John, chapter 15. If you're using the church Bible, you can find this on page 1243. Continuing our series tonight on the Christian's identity. Now, last time we looked at how in Christ we are ambassadors. And so as such, we need to stand for Christ. And we need to speak for Christ. And tonight we're going to talk about how in Christ we are a friend. We are a friend of God, but we are also a friend of one another as fellow believers in the Lord Jesus. There is an outline in the bulletin, so I can use that as usual. One other thing I forgot to mention this morning is we finished the Habakkuk, but I didn't tell you what we were going to do next. So we are going into 2 Timothy, so back to the New Testament. And so you can be thinking of 2 Timothy and reading it. We will not be starting the series until mid to late January because I will be gone on the 1st, and then I'll be tied up with the Core Winter Conference right after that. So at some point in January, we'll start that series in 2 Timothy. So just another short book. It's only 4 chapters, but something you can read. There's a lot for us to study and consider in that book. And then after 2 Timothy, we're going into Ezekiel. So back into the Old Testament, but a much bigger, more challenging book. So you can be praying for me and be thinking of those books and reading them as we look into this coming year. Tonight, though, we think here of what it means to be a friend of God and other believers. And so we find this mentioned in John 15, verses 9 to 17. So that's what we'll be reading this evening. Let's hear God's word. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. We'll stop there at verse 17. In our society, we use the word friend in differing ways. We actually talked a bit about this last Sunday evening when we were looking at James chapter 4. But for instance, one of the things that came to my mind is how we may have, or you may have, hundreds of quote-unquote friends on Facebook. And yet, many of those friends, perhaps, you have not seen in person for years. Some of those friends you may have never seen in person or talked to. But Facebook, of course, uses the word friend to speak of anyone with whom you may have some acquaintance. And I think in some ways that is representative of how many Americans use the word friend or think of it. But a true friend is someone with whom we have a relationship. Right? It's someone who knows us personally, loves us personally, and supports us personally. And so as such, it's also someone we know personally, we love personally, and we support in return, because a friend is a companion. Right? A friend is a person we share life with. We share our joys with, but we also share our struggles with. Well, as we continue our study on the Christian's identity, this is what the Bible says we are in Christ. We are the friends of God, and as a result of that, we are also friends with each other as fellow believers. And so, like every other aspect of our identity, that too needs to affect how we think, how we live, how we spend our time in this world. And so as you can see on the outline, if we are a friend of God and we are a friend of other believers, then we need to live as the friend Jesus died to make us with him and with others. And that's the main point for us to see tonight. Live as the friend Jesus died to make you with him and others. Well, let's see first tonight that in Christ you are a friend of God. John 15, if you remember, we actually looked at this in our Farewell Discourse series not too long ago, but I actually went back and looked over my sermon, and we skipped a bit over the friend aspect. So in some ways, we're looking at some new material tonight, though this text was before us not that long ago. But here we see Jesus, he's speaking to the apostles, and I think rightly in this context, by extension, speaking to all believers, ourselves included, and he says that we are his friends. And so we need to have that in our mind. And this is how Jesus Christ thinks of those who trust in him for salvation. We are not just his disciples. We are not just his subjects. We are not just his worshipers or his followers. We are his friends. And that, too, is a part of our identity. And if you look at the text, Jesus says we are his friends as a result of three things. More than three things, but three things he mentions in the text. And so first and foremost, he says, we are by faith his friends because he died for us. Because he died for us. Look at verse 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And of course, this is before the cross, but he's speaking of the cross. When he gave his life at Calvary, it was to give his life for his friends. It was to give life to his friends, which tells us something about how Jesus thought of us on his way to the cross. He was going to die, not for strangers, but for those he loved. And you can think about that. I think there's much for us to meditate on that point in particular. But it also reveals to us the purpose of his redeeming work. Jesus died to justify us. Why? So that we would become his friends. Look on your outline at James chapter 2, verse 23. Here we read, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Right? So in the same way that your justification makes you an adopted child of God, so your justification makes you a friend of God. Okay, that's the first thing he mentions. Second, he says that we are his friends because we keep his commandments. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, that's not to say that we become his friends by our obedience. As we just saw, we became his friends only by his obedience. But this is to say that you know a friend of God's by their obedience to God. Right? True friends, in other words, are those who obey God. As he loves them, so they love him. And the way they express their love is through obedience. Right? Therefore, as those who follow his teachings, as those who seek to put into practice his commandments, which is true of every believer united to Christ, we show the evidence of being his friends. And then third, Jesus adds to this that we are his friends because he shares his plans with us. He shares his plans with us. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And now this has particular application to the apostles, yes. As we read in the Gospels, Jesus revealed the plan of salvation to the apostles. He confided in those men. He trusted in them. He told them the purposes of God and the Father's plans, truths that would not have been otherwise known by these men. But by extension, I think that applies to us as believers today as well. As we look at the scriptures, and we look at the scriptures by faith, believing in what God tells us here, what do we see? Well, we're being clued into what God is doing. Right? We're being told about the purposes of God and His plans. And that, Jesus says, is not something that a master does with his servant. And so, for instance, you could think, if you work on the line at a factory, you're not likely to know all that the managers are thinking and planning in their offices. Right? You may know some of those things as they give you various projects to work on, but likely you don't know everything they're thinking about. Because if your job is to work the line and not be the manager, right? It's not your job then to know all that they're thinking and planning. It's your job to do what they want you to do and fulfill that. Well, that's not, though, how Jesus works with his disciples. Right? He actually tells us much. Why? Because we're not just his servants. We're also his friends. Right? We work the line, yes, but we're also invited into the office. And he shows us the blueprints and he clues us in to everything that he's doing. So how do we know that we're the friends of Jesus? It's because of his death for us. It's because of our faith-filled obedience to him. And it's because of the revelation he gives to us in the scripture. But notice here, it's not because we are particularly friendly. Right? On the contrary, scripture makes it clear that we were anything but friendly when Jesus died for us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As Jesus says in verse 16, we're not his friends because we chose to be his friends. Right? It's not like being on the playground where we get to pick who our friends or who's on our team. No, he says it's because he chose us to be his friends. Right? So like every aspect of our identity in Christ, we have it. Not because of ourselves, but solely because of the sovereign grace of God. And this also, we have to keep in mind, does not mean that we're no longer his servants. And so he says that we are not just his servants, but we have to understand that we are still very much his servants. And so even in this text, he tells us commands that we are to keep. And so I think to that end, a great example in Scripture for us to think about is the friendship between Jonathan and David. In the Old Testament, Jonathan and David were very close friends, had an affectionate relationship, confided in one another, depended on one another, shared life together side by side. And that way, they were peers. But there was a big difference between Jonathan and David, wasn't there? David was the king. Jonathan was not. And so at the end of the day, though they had that close, intimate, open relationship, Jonathan still had to do what David told him to do. Right? And that's how we need to think of our relationship with Jesus. We're his friends, but he is still the king. And so that creator-creature distinction must never be forgotten by us. But with those things in mind, we nonetheless need to remember and rejoice in the fact, as he says here, that we are his friends. We are his friends. And so while he is still our sovereign, Jesus says he is also our companion. That means we have a close relationship with the Creator. We are known by him. We are loved by him. We have access to him. We are cared for by him. Yes, there's an infinite distance between us, but there's also an intimate closeness between us, where he shares his heart with us. And he listens as we share our heart with him. He rejoices with us and he grieves with us. He supports us and comes alongside us. He's always there for us. And we can always go to him. But think of your closest friends. Do you not talk to them frequently? And do you not share with them the things that are going on in your life? Right? Can you not text them or call them or email them whenever you need them? And aren't you often helped by them? I can think of that for many friends in my life, and I'm sure you can as well. That's the kind of relationship Jesus says we have with him. And if you think about it, we take it for granted, but if you think about it, it is truly amazing. Right? To be his servant is already amazing. That already is a privilege above privileges. But We are much more than that. We are his companion. We are his confidant. If you look at your outline, J.C. Ryle, I think, puts it well when he says, "This is indeed a glorious privilege to know Christ, serve Christ, follow Christ, obey Christ, work in Christ's vineyard, fight Christ's battles. All this is no small matter." In other words, that's already so, so great. But for sinful men and women like ourselves to be called friends of Christ is something that our weak minds can hardly grasp and take in. Now I encourage you just to continue to pray and think about what an honor we've been given to be called the friends of God. But by faith in Christ, we're also, secondly on the outline, friends of other believers. Right, so friend of God, but also a friend of other Christians. And to this, look now at verse 12 in our text. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so we've already talked about how Jesus expressed his love for us by dying on the cross for us. And that is how he treated us as his friends. He gave his life for us. Well, now in response, he says that we are to love one another in the same way. Because, and this is the point he's making, we're not just friends with him, we're also friends with each other. Right? That's implied in the text, yes, it's not stated explicitly, it's implied in the text, but we do see it stated explicitly in other parts of Scripture. And so, for instance, I'll give you two examples. Psalm 119, verse 63. It says, "I am a companion or friend of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts." Or Psalm 122, 8 and 9, which we sang at the beginning of the service. "For the sake of my brethren and companions," or friends, "I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." It's interesting. When you look at the Bible, our relationships, our relationship with one another as believers is described in a variety of ways, isn't it? And so we are told, for instance, that we are all differing members of the one body of Christ. We're also told that we're siblings in the one family of Christ. And here we're told that we're all really in the same friend group of Christ. That we're friends with him, and as a result of that, we are friends with one another. Because being united to Christ unites us to each other. That's the thing we have to remember. That's how it works in the gospel. We don't just get Jesus, we also get Jesus' church. Because the church is united to him, which in turn makes us united to it. And so think this morning about little Joseph's baptism. When Joseph was baptized, we all promised as a congregation to receive him into our fellowship, to pray for him, and to help his parents raise him in the Lord. Why did we do that? Why was there a promise for us to make? Well, there's a promise for us to make because in baptism, Joseph was not just becoming a member of the church as an institution. Joseph was becoming a member of the church as a body of people, of God's people. Right, so he was being added to the number, to our number, right? Which then gives us responsibilities towards him because Joseph is now one of us. Right? He is one of us. He didn't choose to be one of us, but by virtue of his baptism in this congregation, he became one of us, one of the members of this covenant community. In the same way, that is why Jesus calls us to love one another. It's because he has united us to one another. Meaning, we are friends of each other as we are friends with him. And that is then to be reflected in our relationships. And so let's go back to what we talked about last Sunday evening. I did not plan it this way, but we talked about how the source of our strife is our own selfishness. Our own selfish desires, and when we give in to them, that's what causes problems in our relationships with one another. And if you remember, we talked about how God tells us there not to be selfish, because when we are selfish, who are we acting like? A friend of the world. Right? James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And as we said, of course, we do not want to make ourselves an enemy of God by acting like a friend of the world. Why? Because we're friends of God. And if we're the friends of God, then we're friends with one another. And that is why James says, don't be selfish. As friends of each other, we have a commitment to each other. Or as Jesus says in John 15, that's why we should love one another as he has loved us. It all comes back to the relationship that God has given us with each other as believers in him. And we are to love one another because as the friends of God, we've been made friends of every other Christian in the world. As I look back over my time in the church from when I was converted in high school to today, being in many different churches, I look back over the people I've gotten to know, and I've become friends with different people that I ordinarily would not have been friends with, right? If you would have asked me in high school, before I was converted, would I be friends with so-and-so or so-and-so and so-and-so, I probably would have said no, because those people are very different from me. Right? But I have those friendships, and I've developed those friendships for years now, because there was always something more important that connected us. Something way more important than similar interests or hobbies or things of that sort. And that is, we all love Jesus despite our differences. And it's our love for Jesus that enabled us to love one another. Well, in the same way, that look around tonight. Right? We did not create the makeup of this congregation. Right? God put us all here. And we are different people. We have different walks of life. We have different interests. We have different beliefs. We look different. We have different families, different backgrounds. So many differences among us. But we have relationships with each other. And we love each other because we understand that it's our love for Christ that matters most. And that's what joins us together, side by side, heart to heart. Right? This is what we're talking about here. We are, because of our love for Christ, friends of each other. And that's a reality we need to embrace and remember. That's also a responsibility for us to fulfill. Right? So who are we in Christ? We are a friend of God, and we are a friend of other believers. And that means, as we see thirdly and finally on the outline, that we should live accordingly. We should live as the friend Jesus died to make us with him and others. And to that end, I want to close here with two points of application. And the first one is this. As a friend of God and others, build and enjoy relationships. Build and enjoy relationships. Right, so most importantly, build and enjoy your relationship with God. Right? Get to know him. Spend time with him like you would any other friend. Right? This is simple for us to understand. Like you would any other friend, be with God. And work to deepen your relationship with him. Right? So that you're growing in your knowledge of him. And your understanding of him. What is he like? What is he not like? Who is he? So that you grow in your love for him and appreciation. Richard Phillips says, the Bible is not only the holy book for us to revere, but also Jesus' disclosure of his own heart for us to treasure as his friends. Right? So as we interact with friends and we share life with one another, what he's saying is when we open our Bible, what do we hear? We hear Jesus sharing his heart with us. What is he thinking about? What is he like? What matters to him? And so we should listen to that so that it's growing us closer to him in our friendship. But not only that, we should be sharing our heart with him and being comforted by the friendship we have with him. J.C. Ryle says, speaking of our friendship with Christ, let the expression before us encourage Christians to deal familiarly with Christ in prayer. Let it cheer us in all the troubles and sorrows of life. There's a lot of comfort for us to take from the fact that we are the friends of God. Right? But in addition to building your relationship with Christ, we need to do the same in our relationships with other believers. So again, just to be practical, if there are folks in the church you do not know, make it your goal to meet them. Right? Strive to be on a first-name basis with every single person in this building. Right? Someone who's been here for years, someone who's just new this week, ask them questions. Right? Listen to their stories. Invite them into your home to sit at your table. Right? Be with one another so that you're growing closer to one another. Right? Because if we're friends of each other in Christ, then we should be friends of each other in life. Doesn't mean we all have to be the best of friends. Doesn't mean we all have to be together 24/7. But it does mean we should be working to have close, loving relationships with each other. And as we build those relationships, let us enjoy them. Laugh. Have fun. Do things you like, side by side. Live out the great friendships that God has given to us. That's the first application. Then second, as a friend of God and others, provide and receive support. Provide and receive support. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And perhaps that goes without saying, but I think it bears mentioning. A friend is someone who's friendly. Right? We remind our kids of this. Right? A friend is someone who is kind and thoughtful. A friend is someone who shows up and cares. A friend is a person who helps. And so, as a friend of other believers, we not only need to know each other and spend time with each other, we need to support each other. Right? As Jesus says in John 15, we need to love one another, and not just in word, but in deed. Ways that are tangible, in ways that are even sacrificial. And so I want to encourage you, be on the lookout for opportunities to help. All right, whether it's with childcare, making a meal, moving boxes, whether it's with Bible study or daily prayer or how to live by faith, there are opportunities to help here on the Lord's Day. There are opportunities to help throughout the week. Right? There are opportunities to help physically. There are opportunities to help spiritually. In fact, that's another reason for us to build and grow our relationships. Because as we know each other more and more, and as we're in each other's lives more and more, that's then when we're able to know how to help each other better and love one another as Jesus calls us to. All right, so we need to be providing support as friends, but also we need to be receiving support as friends. And that's true for our relationships with one another. But what I want to focus on tonight is that it's especially true for your relationship with God. And if He is your friend, then that means He gives you the support that you need. And that means we need to accept it when He gives it. Now, Proverbs 18:24, again, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In many ways, I think we would say that the sibling relationship is closer than a friend relationship. Right? Siblings have the same blood, they have the same family, they have the same genetic makeup. There's something biological that joins siblings together. Yeah, but if you're like many people, you may have a friend who's closer to you than a sibling. Right? A friend who knows you better than a sibling. A friend who does more to help you than a sibling. A friend who cares more about you than a sibling. Right? Many people have those types of friends. I have those types of friends. But ultimately, we all have that friend in Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Right? Because He's the friend who never leaves our side. He's the friend who always gives the best support. He's the friend who's always there for us, perfectly so, and does in numerous ways that our siblings could never do for us. And this is why J.C. Ryle says, None so rich, so strong, so independent, so well off, so thoroughly provided for, as the man of whom Christ says, "This is my friend." Ryle says that because Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so as he works to support us, we need to embrace it. We need to open our hands and receive the support he's giving to us. So if he's encouraging you from the Word, believe it. Hold on to it. If he's rebuking you for your sin, learn from it. If he's helping you through a trial, benefit from it. Whether it's from the Word, whether it's from the sacraments, whether it's from his own people, we are to receive his help because we need his friendly support. And his friendly support always makes us better. And the best thing is, unlike even our closest of friends on earth, we can always rely on him because he'll never let us down. Matthew Henry says, "Though they often show themselves unfriendly," speaking of us, "he," Jesus, "is a friend that loves at all times." So how are we to live as the friends Jesus died to make us with him and others? We are to build and enjoy our relationships. And we are to provide and receive support. Or as Proverbs says, we're to be friendly, knowing that we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that tonight that you would help us to understand your word as we've read it and as we've heard it preached. We pray that as well we would believe it and apply it. Lord, thank you that you've given us such love for one another in this congregation, many relationships. We thank you that you've given us a love for you and that ultimately you've poured out your love on us. Thank you that you want to be our friends. There are many people in the world who do not want to be our friends. But you, the Son of God, want to be our friends. And we bless you for that. Lord, you have even given your life, Jesus on the cross, to make us your friends. And so, Lord, help us to grow closer to you and to take great comfort from the friendship that we have with you. But, Lord, also help us to grow closer to one another and to live as friends of each other in this congregation, but also beyond this congregation. And so minister to us and cause us to live in these ways as the friend you've made us to be in Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.